Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun or goes based on the data you have printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going, flying.
Okay, retro, go.
Fido,
go.
Guide, go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Ginsey,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
It's a Sunday night. We all survived tax day, and it's my first Sunday show in a while. I've been going through a lot of stuff here, guys, and you've all been on the adventure with me as we've gotten into these EVPs, these live on-air EVP sessions. And I pushed the boundaries a bit, and you've known I've probably gotten a little bit too tired for myself. So I got confirmation from not only those on this side of the veil, but my friends on the other side that I should be putting a few more limits on myself with this. So we're going to go to a little more solid format, kind of return back to some of the things I'm from before when all this started really going crazy. And so the Sunday night show is definitely going to be the big constant with interviews and occasionally some psychic stuff we do here on Sunday, depending on if a guest is here or not. And then on Thursdays, we're going to definitely do, I'll be doing the panel shows. Thursdays, I'll still be doing the shows with Kathy, but on the Thursday night EVP show, we'll be doing 2 hours, and I'll be able to do one show and three readings per show. And so we're working that out so that everybody gets a chance, and a lot of neat stuff has been happening. The other side was real clear in some personal readings. I actually do personal readings for myself with that, and they were very clear about definitely watching overdoing this, and I really believe that. So I'm going to be working on that and pushing some new boundaries. Going to be doing some video appearances here a very new program here, and I'll talk. I'll actually get some more of that. Actually, Solana's here. She can post the link for that in the chat room if she can do that. And that's set to launch real soon. And I'm actually going to record my video here in the next couple of days. I'm going to be doing on-air. The best way to describe this, being kind of like a guide to the paranormal and covering everything from EVP to techniques out in the field to dealing with spirits and all kinds of things like that. So it's going to be a kind of a new thing. You'll actually get to see my ugly face. And yes, I'll break the camera. And what else is going on here at the Broken Tree Ranch? A lot of cleanup work. We've been burning and pulling weeds, and I've been doing exercise too. I'm using an Exer game on my Xbox. It's called Yourself Fitness. And I have been getting my rear end in gear, and I am sore all over. So, the goal is to improve my health a bit and get my stamina going a little more so I can take more of that. There it is, livestream.com/loveconsciousnessnetwork. And that's a triple W in front of that. So they're going to be doing live broadcast and then playing our clips, you know, throughout the show. So you'll be seeing quite a bit of that in the very near future. And let's see, what other things are going on here? Just wanted to take a moment, you know, and say, you know, once again, you guys have been great through all of this as we've been growing, and, you know, this is going in directions that I never anticipated. So just thanks again. And let me go ahead and read off all the folks in the chat room before we get into talking about our guests who are coming on tonight. And we have a couple of real nice gentlemen coming in. We have Anastasia One is with us, and her mom, Judith. I was playing all sorts of stuff before show because when she dials in, anybody that dials in can listen in as I'm doing all the hijinks that you don't get to hear on the air. So I was having fun with her. Let's see. Blue Edge Radio is here. One member of my team and our case manager is Renee Martin, and she's just a sweetheart of a lady and an intrepid investigator. And she can get herself into offices like nobody I can ever believe. I'm still scratching my head how she does it, but thank God that we've got her on our team. And we've got Kathy from Kathy's Distant Echoes, and she's the Empress of Blog Talk. She's out there, and she has been a real dear, dear friend, just the same as Renee. And without these two ladies in my life, I would be all the poorer. And let's see, what we got here? Oh, Chris Hawley. Don't recognize the name, but Chris, good to see you. And then we have Deb S. with an asterisk. Hello, good to see you. Denise in Florida, who desperately needs your funds. Yes, let's get a telethon going to fix her laptop. And let's see, we have Disgruntled Dan. He was the first guy in, you know. He was the first one over the hill, man. Let's see, we got Fire Witch, and she and I have been trading emails. She's funny, I think. And she's got an interesting sense of humor. She makes me laugh. Let's see. We have guest 7321. You are from France. Good to see you. Nanessi. Hello, Nanessi. Good to see you. Paul Edward Montador, who's going to be on my show, along with Anastasia and Mom, are back-to-back here, I think, in the next coming week. I've already got that scheduled. So good to see him. He's coming in from across the pond, and I'm sure right now he's dodging lava bombs over there in the UK. So, you know, definitely stay inside, Paul. We've got Rob is here with us. Good to see him. And we've got Solana, who is just we just talked about her show. And we have Veronica V, and she needs to get that reading with us. So we're going to definitely work on getting that going. But that's not the end of it, though. But we got all this great stuff going. We're going to be talking with the good folks at Ghost Hunters Incorporated, and GHI. And we have Scott Wise and Alan Wolfshadow are going to be with us. And they have been operating a long, long time, you know, since, I believe, 1974 they've been doing this stuff. So it says here in the bio, we've been researching, investigating, and tracking ghosts since 1974 from our humble beginnings in Pottstown, PA, being a ghost investigator and going on ghost investigations when it was not so popular. Digital equipment wasn't even heard of. Boy, I know about that. Back in the 70s, the equipment they used was Polaroid cameras, cassette tape recorders, and compasses. And our mission statement is, you know, to provide a high-quality, professional, reliable, friendly, and knowledgeable ghost investigative team to their clients. It's their sole purpose and intent to provide the client with the most professional paranormal team investigation possible. So these guys are way experienced, and I did load about five of their EVPs up. And before I start, though, I'll say I never listen to the EVPs when we have a paranormal team on ahead of time. I like to be as surprised as everybody else. And I'll say one other thing, too, is when we load these up on Blog Talk, I've done several thousand EVP recordings of my own, and I've got just a huge library. And I've noticed that sometimes when I load EVP and I hear it here in the studio, and then I load it up through Blog Talk, I'll hear two completely different things. So, you know, if that happens, don't be surprised. It should be interesting to see what we get. Anyway, I believe we've got, I think the 217 is Anastasia's mom, but I'll kind of go around that. But we have 727 out there. So I'm going to bring 727 in and see who we have here. And we got a microphone. Okay, hello, 727. Is there somebody there? Hello? Okay, I don't think they're listening to you. I'll tell you what, when you, let me go ahead and put that back. 727, are you there? I'm beginning to wonder if that's Denise. Okay, I'll tell you what. What we'll do is I already did the intro. And, Scott, if you are listening, or Mr. Wolfshadow, Alan, go ahead and dial in, and I'll be watching for you. And just, you know, because I know one of you said you had Skype, so I was kind of waiting to see that. Anyway, let's go ahead and go on here. And Anthea is adding your book to the suggested reading list for a site. Oh, okay. And Alan is in here. Oh, he is in studio. Okay. I'm going to try the 217 just to be sure, too, see if we've got that's probably Anastasia's mom. Judith, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I just wanted to say hi, darling. And yeah, you heard me pre-show. I was playing all my stuff for you and laughing.
Thank you. You have a good show.
Well, thank you. I occasionally get one right out the door, you know, and you know, but it's always good to see. The one constant in my life I'm always looking for when I dial in is I'm looking for Judith sitting out there with her little, you know, her number two spot, always in the on the switchboard. So, but
yeah.
Anyway, I'll and I just want you to know too. I went ahead and scheduled you guys on the show upcoming, so it's definitely out there in the list. So. Just look for that, and I'll be emailing you and Anastasia ahead of time to make sure you see it and all that. So
okay.
We're looking forward to having you on, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you back back there in the little hold thing there, and it looks like, I had a caller, and then they disappeared. My goodness, it's one of those. It is a, let's see, it's a one of those things that we call Mercury retrograde. And lots of strange things happening now. Let me try the 727 again and just see if it happens to be. Is anyone still there?
John.
Hello.
It's Denise, but I can't talk. I'm just listening.
Okay, Denise. I just wanted to be sure. So, okay, we'll put you back on hold. So.
Thank you.
We love you dearly, darling. So good.
Oh, I love you guys, too.
Okay.
Have to be very quiet.
Okay, everybody be very, very quiet.
You don't have to, just me.
Okay, those yours. All right, well, we will put you back in your slot. Oh, we got a 717. Hands are up there. Cool, I think this might be Mr. Wolfshadow. So, okay, I'm going to put you back there. And so we got a full list of people dialing in. Here we go. 717. We have a microphone. Someone is out there with their hand up. Hello.
717, Scott Wise.
Hey, good to see you, Scott.
Hey, nice to hear your voice. I had problems with Skype. I kept going hearing double. So Skype wasn't going to work.
You know, that's weird. I mean, Skype, I mean, if you were dialing in through the computer, computer Skype is a real tricky thing to do. And I've learned that, you know, I actually broadcast through Skype, so I have a whole production set up here in Studio B that I use two Skype lines, and but I have a broadcast computer specially tuned to do this. And so it's if you've got a lot of processes running on your computer and you're trying to dial in, it gets weird. It gets really fast. So I don't think you doubt that you were having some issues. But welcome aboard, and you know, it's good to have you guys on.
It's great to be on.
Yeah, and is Alan there with you on the same line, or is he going to be that? Oh, I think I do see him. 610.
He might pop in shortly. Yeah, that's him.
Okay, let me go ahead and pull him in. And okay, I see a 610 is here with us, and we just hit the button. Is Alan with us?
Hello, John, and all your listeners, and Sky. Yes, it's me, and I'm here with you guys as well.
All right. Well, hey, guys, we got everybody in one place, all safe and sound, and you know, the guys from Ghost Hunters Incorporated have arrived in style. So, it's just great to have you on, and I remember you guys writing a letter about some of the EVPs and stuff you guys have gotten, and you've been around a long time. I mean, just what I read in the bio, since 1974. How did you guys get started? I mean, this is historic.
Well, actually, of course, when it first started out, it was myself, my brother, and my best friend. And each of us had our own little paranormal experiences locally back in Pottstown. So, you know, we just decided that it was something to do, you know. We kind of were bored with, you know, just like cruising up and down like the rest of the kids in our time frame. So we wanted to get out and do something different. So it started out basically like, I guess, more like a hobby. And, you know, we did on a regular basis. And then it started to catch on. It's like, hey, you know, this is great. We can sit there, stay out of trouble. Of course, you know, back in the 70s, we still had the long hair and everything. They still thought it was weird. But that's basically how it started. And next thing you know, one thing led to another and kind of snowballed. And, well, I never expected to get towards that today. You know, it's fantastic. We love it. We still do it as a hobby, but, you know, over the years we learned to be just a little bit more professional. So it's great, and we love it. So that's sort of basically how we got started. You know, just kind of one day we decided, well, three kids, hey, we're bored, so let's do something worthwhile.
Well, you have paranormal experiences, and this is the part that, you know, I see this so much in the different paranormal teams that we have on, you know, and I run my own out here. I'm actually, Ghost Rider Investigation, so I'm a GRI, you're a GHI, and a lot of these Gs coming in. But, you know, what were your first experiences for both of you that kind of got you pointed that, hey, there's something about the other side that's real and got you looking at this, seriously?
It's actually lack of experience. I didn't have any experiences at all. And I was looking to find something, you know, and ever since I remember, I pick up a book. I always read, like, spooky stories and read, like, different paranormal books and stuff. And got to the point in my life where I actually ended up having a kid, so that takes precedence over everything. And he's at the age right now where I'm allowed to go out and play now a little bit, so... So I got a hold of that one. I was looking for ghost hunting places around my area, and I found his, and his site looked most professional than other ones around here. So I said, well, I'll give this guy a call and see what happens. And then we went to a restaurant, had some pie and coffee, and talked it over, and there I was.
All right. And I'm sure you found some paranormal experiences after you did this.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I
do. Got a little bit of bargain for it, huh?
The last one, I was hearing whispering and talking and all kind of stuff. So that kind of, you know, got to me a little bit, but, you know, like, bring it on.
All right. And Al, what about you? I mean, what things, because you have the interest, obviously, and, you know, you went in just like what we did. We didn't know what the heck we were doing when we first started, but it's, you build up experience quickly, but there must have been a formative experience that you had that you know, made this, kind of stick in your mind to do it.
Actually, John, it was kind of fun. I guess one of the experiences we had years ago, it still exists today, but there was a Revolutionary War soldier from the area, down that area at that time, was known as Limerick. So, and he was a captain in the Revolutionary Army. And, you know, as all things, urban legends start and they spread out. And, you know, we just wanted to find out the truth behind the legend. So we went to his burial site, which, we, of course, you know, being kids and inquisitive, we went there. We kind of were afraid to go up to the house, to the mansion, but we asked people. We got permission. We went down to his tomb, started snooping around, moved a few leaves around, found his gravestone, you know, kind of had at that time we had the tracing paper to where, like, you could trace it, so we traced it over with, like, charcoal writing stuff. Found that, started taking her and shooting pictures and stuff. And, of course, I know there's some people that today sit there and say, well, orbs are more than dust. We kind of agree, but we were looking at our pictures, and, of course, they were the good old-fashioned Polaroid swingers and stuff like that, so you knew you got a real picture then, so to speak. But anyways, we saw this, and we got talking, like, you know, this can't be right. There's more to this. And, of course, we would sit there, and we would experience things out of the normal, like today, basically, you know, the cold spots, the changes in temperature. I guess you could say today that they were more like personal experiences. So we would have to write them down, you know, and document them with pictures and stuff like that. And, of course, the good old EMF detector today was... back then was our compass, you know, a cheap compass you pick up for a buck or whatever, that type of thing. So that's how we found our magnetic field back then. So that's basically where we started. And we had some others, an old tales of an old witch's house, which I'll tell you, that really scared the living daylights out of everybody. My brother, he was. Go ahead.
No, oh, really? I was just saying, oh, really? What happened there?
Well, to make a long story short, we went in to investigate this house, and my brother turned around and he goes about having a strange feeling and he didn't want to go in. So I said, all right, no big deal. So we had these big, long, gigantic walkie-talkies that we used for communications at the time. I give him one, you know, you pull up the telescopic antenna. And I said, we're going to go in. If you see anything, let us know. So we're up at the second floor walking around. And, of course, the house was in disrepair to begin with. So we were kind of with flashlight in one hand, watching our stuff as well. And all of a sudden, he gets on. He says, I see something upstairs on the second floor window. I said, oh, yeah, really? Tell me about it. He says, it looks like two glowing eyes and a shadow. I said, was it moving? He said, no, not yet. It's just like staring at me. Well, again, after all was said and done, he stood there and he said, it's moving. He says, where are you guys at? So we told him, he says, well, it's your way. Well, about that time, Bill had turned around and he says, look, there it is. And all we saw was this giant big mass. So they all took off running. So it was like, you know, and you know, we were still young. We had no clue at that point yet what we were doing. So, and we still don't sometimes, you know, we still learn as we go, even 35 years later. But that was one of our kind of, for lack of a better term, hair-raising experience as well as comical. But those are the two that basically got us going and really get us interested in it.
Well, how has this evolved for you? I mean, since you founded the organization and you've gone through all... You're one of the older groups I've run into. You know, I've only seen one other that would be in the 20-year category, and this is definitely, you know, further along than that. What you know that makes you like you know, you were doing this before everybody else. So what changes? I mean, beyond the compass and all that, what are the things that you've seen that are the most beneficial, and what are the things that are maybe some of the least beneficial changes you've seen in all of the fields since you started?
I guess basically some of the things that I've seen would be the most beneficial is, for example, where we had the old cassette recorders lugging around, which was supposed to be portable, but at that time that's gotten a lot smaller. So now we have the digital voice recorders, and we still do use our cassette recorders. We got two of them as well. That's the old battery jobs. But, you know, minor things like that. It's easier now to take pictures, you know, and with the good old age of Microsoft and all the computers and laptops, carrying them along, it makes it easier to do our video recordings as to where, you know, before you used to have this big old VHS recorder on your shoulder going, oh, really? So there's a lot that's come along with the technology, and it's kind of fun, and it really makes it a whole lot easier to log everything and that sort of thing. So some of the things that I guess in a way that would be like on the downside is, of course, I still like to log things the old-fashioned way as well as on our logging system. So that way, obviously, every now and then a computer will crash. So if you had just have nothing written down in your files as well, why then everything you had is lost. So that's some of the things I think, you know, it has pros and cons as compared to back then.
Yeah, well, I think that people are more open to it nowadays too than they were in the past.
Yeah, they don't call you crazy.
Yeah. They might still call you crazy, but I just think there's more people who are more interested in now and... You know, that's easier for us to get investigations, and, I mean, that helps too, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. It's so much easier. I'm able to go to, you know, locations and just, you know, just say, hey, we're a paranormal research team, and we're not, you know, we're not looked at funny. It's really nice to see that, and that a lot of people accept that. It's like 1 out of 10 that will look at you funny, but most of them go, hey, come here, I've got a story for you. And so it seems like there's such, you know, universal experience with this stuff that people have. It's just refreshing, you know, and I think that's the real benefit of what's happened, you know, in the paranormal world since, you know, all the shows started really coming out and people got, you know, found out it's okay to talk about this and that people really do have these experiences.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I forget what I was going to say now. But, yeah, it is good, and it does kind of sit there. And another thing that I see to an advantage as far as, you know, everything is hyped up a lot with a lot of your shows, as Hollywood, as we all know. So one thing I like about it gives, like some of our clients, they actually get to have firsthand interaction with us to where they can finally realize, oh, well, that such and such and so on such and such a channel was basically hyped up to the point to where, you know, as one person in the newspaper article I seen, and I'm not going to name any names, but they called it, they said the equipment was oversensitized. But then this way, people can see us in real life action, and they can find out what we show them, what we get is genuine. You know, it's not some hyped up bunch of hooey somewhere or whatever for ratings or that type of stuff. So we have had one of our last investigation, which was in Gettysburg. It was the battlefield bread and breakfast. We had our first time there, which worked out really well, was some of the guest interaction. So it was kind of fun. Oh, we definitely got some good EVPs. We also, for the first time, used the good old ghost box, which the particular one we used was the 12-470. So it was kind of fun, and we definitely got some real good experiences there as well. So it's fun.
Personal experiences, too.
Oh, yeah, a lot of personal experiences. Thanks for reminding me, Scott, but and evidence to document that as well. But it's fun, and I love it. Scott loves it. I mean, our whole team, we just get out there, and I got to give my team credit, Scott and the rest of my team members, because they put up with me for one thing. and second of all, you know, it's like, hey, guys, we got this going. I'll send them all an email and stuff, and they're willing to go the distance. So I got a great bunch of guys and gals. So, you know, it's all not me. It's my team. My team's really great. So I
got
to give them credit.
That, you know what? I'll tell you what. That's a good sign. I mean, you know, I'm blessed with the team I have, and you know, we're small. We're not out trying to look for, you know, a lot of big attention. You know, when we go out, we're doing these cases, and we're trying to actually help people, you know, to understand what their haunt is and what's going on. Sometimes it's not, you know, paranormal. It's you know, just explainable stuff. But more often than not, you know, we do get EVPs, which, you know, it's gotten to the point where I'm kind of wishing we'd get a case where we didn't get some evidence. It seems like the spirit world's just on fire with this stuff. So we go out, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. You seem to get, you know, at least some residual, if, you know, haunt, you know, EVP of some sort. But often we get the intelligent stuff, and I'm just still amazed at how often we do get evidence. I mean, is that the same for you? I mean, and has it changed over time with you guys when you started with the tape, you know, and cassettes and things like that?
Oh, yeah. It's like I said, it's totally different now compared to what we have with the old cassette tapes and to the digital voice recording now. And, you know, the software out there, like we use WavePad for our EVP software. And the amazing things that you can do with that now as compared to your old cassette audio tapes, well, it's fantastic. I mean, and, you know, you can sit there, and nowadays you can give your client, well, we do anyway, we give our clients better understanding, you know, to help them out. Like you said, not everything's going to be a paranormal activity. So when we do find something in that case, you know, we're going to say, this is what we found. We either do believe or we don't believe. So, you know, if we have clients that are out there and we say, hey, this is how we feel, that this can be explained by this, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, we don't think that it was really a paranormal experience. Why? We'll tell them, you know, we're not going to pull any punches. If they don't like what we have to say, well, then, okay, thank you for letting us out. But, hey, you know, you can get a second opinion. I mean, after all, that's what it's all about, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. How many investigations do you think you guys have done? I mean, it must be just a ton.
Oh, God. You
know, I started back in November, and I've done, six now?
Yeah, something like that. We've had six
since
November.
Then, yeah.
And that was back in 2009.
We're trying to average at least one a month. We're trying for two.
Yeah. So that's about what we do, about two a month. And one thing I'm learning, you know, because we've been at this about 4 years now, and what I've learned is there's some such thing as too much evidence. So we're really getting tight about, you know, limiting the amount of audio we do and video, and then trying to turn around our case reporting time, because it's just you're forever behind the curve, you know, when you do too much, you know, drop recording and static recorders and all that. It just gets to be too much. And sometimes you just don't need all that, you know. Generally, spirits, if they're going to communicate, they're going to come right out. You know, that's what we find. So, I mean, is it the same for you guys? I mean, do you notice that kind of thing?
Yeah, we've noticed that too, and I myself have found out, and I try and get it, and I'm sure Scott will agree, and some of our other team members will as well, that usually within the first, I would say, no more than 5 minutes of a recording of an EVP session, if you're not going to get anything, then you more than likely won't. So, you know, I wouldn't really want to waste more than 5 minutes, because, like, we have had cases, like, at one point there was, like, a 35-minute session. So when you want to get your evidence reviewed and get it back to the client, you know, you don't want to sit there and drag out any more time. You know, you want to do it as fast as you can so you can get them satisfied, get and let them know what's going on, and you move on to your next case as soon as you get it. So I like to try and keep it within a five-minute range, and, you know, and we're usually, I'd say, probably what's got anywhere between 4 to 6 hours on an investigation, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, usually. That's 4 to 6 hours, sometimes on each recorder. So we have, like, probably 4 recorders. So, yeah.
Now, I'll ask the big question. Is finding team members and rounding them up to akin to herding cats so you can do all the evidence analysis?
Yeah, it can be hectic. And, you know, it's like, I'll get a bunch. Scott will send me a bunch of his evidence, and I have other team members send it. And it's like, okay, now we're all going to send it to everybody, which is like you said, a task in itself. And we're all going to go through it. Then next thing you know, everybody's emailing everybody. Well, we got this, we got that. And then you hear, well, gee, I heard this in that EVP. What'd you hear? And it's like, well, I didn't hear that. This, so it gets to be a little on the hectic side, but you know it. It's like anything else. You got to take the time. You got to sort it out. And, of course, with my schedule, you know, everybody, like everybody else, I have a job that I have to pay bills with. So it gets kind of rough. And there's times when it's like, what I get myself into. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I mean, I love what I do, and so does our team. As a whole, our team loves what we do. Or otherwise, obviously, we wouldn't be doing it. So.
Yeah. Given your history, I'm sure you have an incredible archive. Given the amount of time you've been at it, because I write document management systems for a living, and I've got some pretty sophisticated stuff we do here for trying to collate and keep our original archives and our original evidence pristine, and then to work through and reduce it down until we end up with an end case a presentable case. But, are you still in possession of, like, your original cassettes and videos and things like that? I mean, it sounds like you've got quite a large, array of evidence.
Well, there's some that we have, but over the time, some of them have finally gotten to the point to where the original cassettes would get to, like, totally, played so much that the tapes would wear thin and stuff like that. So there are some of them that we don't have. There are some from newer times that we do have. As a matter of fact, to give an example, there was a, up in, where was that, Deer Lake? Yeah, it's called Deer Lake. There was a cemetery. We just decided to go in and kind of like browse around. And at this one point, sent my digital voice recorder down. There was a family. It was from the 1800s. And I sat down. I introduced myself. I said, my name's Alan Wolf Shadows. I'm a paranormal investigator. And, I explained the year and day. I said, we're not here to harm anybody, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, I'm also from Western Cherokee background. I have Western Cherokee blood. And I said, I've been out in the Oklahoma area, et cetera. Not thinking nothing. I walked away. I come back a little bit later. And when I got home to review the evidence, I hear, and as well as the rest of it, and I wish I had that. I have it somewhere in my files. I should have thought about bringing that up, but you hear a female's voice saying, this is in Tulsa. So that kind of blew us away. My other half, as well as my case coordinator, Nancy, she heard it as well. So actually, she's the one that found it, by the way. So that was one of the kind of interesting things we had. But as far as a lot of the stuff, the tapes had gotten old and broke or something to that point. So I wish we would have the equipment then that we do now, because a lot of it could have been saved.
Well, now, as far as the type of cases that you've evolved to doing, I mean, you're kind of like the first people, the first group people would call in, dealing with, let's say it's a family that's never seen a haunt before, and they start, the classic stuff, cold spots, they're feeling like they're being watched, things like that. When you guys go in and you do ascertain that there is an entity or multiple entities present, you know, what happens afterwards when you do the report? Do you have like a handoff process for bringing in someone to do clearing, or do you do that yourself, or, you know?
Well, basically what we'll do is, so anything like exorcisms or clearings, we really don't do that, so we more than likely have them to contact their minister, priest, or their rabbi, or other, you know, someone of their faith. But what we can do for them and what we will do for them is we will take sage, okay, blessed sage, white sage, and at their request, we'll go around the house with the sage and do what we would call a smudging. So therefore, if there would be any kind of negativity, it will, for lack of a better term, keep the negativity at bay. And perhaps if the smudging is done right, not like seeing another, but if the smudging is done right the way it should be, it will keep it outside the walls of the house and not allow it to enter. And of course, there's other American Indian means that we believe that will allow the evil from entering the house as well. But as far as the smudging, that's about the only thing we would do. We don't believe in the cleansing themselves ourselves. We leave that to more qualified people, I guess we should say.
Okay, yeah, that's about how we do it. I mean, it's mainly if we do see something that's getting, that's beyond our abilities. We've got our means of communications with, the church or things like that. I've been pretty lucky. I mean, I really watch out for the safety of the team. You know, I'm always looking and saying, what are we really dealing with here? The question that comes to mind, I mean, given the breadth of the cases you've seen, what's been the most outstanding case in your mind that you can think of over all those years that really sticks in your mind and it could be more than one case, the ones that really stick out in your mind that you can remember and have stories about, you know?
Well, I guess at this point it'd be one of our newer cases, which involved a church in Montgomery County. It's called Zion Lutheran Church. And, at one point, we had one investigator. Now, they also had a nursery there, too, as well, in preschool. And in one of the schoolrooms, we had our one investigator, and he was sitting there conducting an EVP session. And we heard this, like, a knock. Nobody knows where it came from. And, of course, everybody was accounted for, so it wasn't, done by any of us. But we go in, and he said, "Did you hear that?" And we said, "Yeah." So we were trying to figure out where it was. But anyhow, during the EVP session he was telling us about, he said he had felt a cold spot and he had heard something move. Well, anyhow, make a long story short, they had a mirror, I guess, what was it, probably like maybe a 4x3 or something like that, mirror on the wall in this classroom. And when we looked, and we didn't see it before, okay, but when we looked at this particular time, there was a handprint on the mirror of a young toddler, I'd say probably maybe 2 or 3 years old. And how it got there, nobody knows. What we do know is when we first started the investigation, it was not there. Every one of the investigators that was there, Scott, my case coordinator, could all verify that handprint was not there. So that was one of the pictures we have up on our website with some of the stuff. But that's one of them that sticks out in my mind that really impressed me as well.
The other one I thought was kind of a... sorry, I'm going to...
Go ahead, Scott.
I'll tell about the Mount Penn investigation.
Okay.
That was one of the weirdest ones. We had an entity or ghost swearing a lot, cursing. Some are available on our site. I didn't put them all up, but, F-words and, I never heard of such thing until I heard that. Like, oh, I can't believe this. So, because they were getting a negative feeling at that place, they called us in because they were having an issue, I guess, with their cat.
Yeah.
Jumping around and freaking out and stuff. And then the lady who was there, they started getting the EVPs and stuff because they thought there was something in the house. And they did a little bit of historical background on it. And some of the historical information were coinciding with the questions being asked with the EVPs. And we warned them about it over and over again until it, I guess, progressed so much that they wanted us to come in there. And they had negative energy in there. And they had more than one in there. And we got her to get a priest to come out, and I didn't get a call back from her since. So I don't know.
When you told them they had negative energies there, they just kind of, they just didn't want to deal with it, is what you're saying?
Well, no, they wanted us to try to get a psychic in there, too. And I said, well, we don't really deal with psychics here. I mean, we can get one. We have access to one if we need it. But we don't usually go that route. We usually just, like Alice said, get a priest in there, and that's as far as we can go with it. I mean, I tell them, want to talk and everything, they can call us if they want to talk about stuff, too. Or, we always have that option open, too.
Now, have you found in your experience, between the two of you, when you do find an entity, that's earthbound, that's frequenting a particular location or locations, what is your take on why they stay around, and why they haunt?
Well, I've always heard unfinished business, but I mean, it could be loved ones too. I mean, wanting to hang out too, don't want to leave because they're watching over their loved ones. So that's one of my theories.
I tend to agree with Scott, except in the residual, that could be other things. But some of the things that I would say is maybe, like Scott mentioned, about communicating with a loved one. So, in fact, maybe there, as far as communicating with a loved one and unfinished business, maybe there would be something like, for example, let's say there was something left out of a will that the deceased wanted a family member to have, say, like maybe a father or mother wanted their son or daughter to have. So they're hanging around to try and guide them to this particular item, say like maybe, the old money stuffed in the mattress type thing. So they're trying to let them know, hey, this is here for you. This was put aside. It wasn't mentioned in the will, but it's here, so it could be something of that nature. Or maybe it could be like a loved one who's just taking sort of like the guardian angel role. So it depends. And, it just... For any reason, it could even be the fact that they don't know they're deceased yet. So, there's many theories out there, and you're going to hear what you probably have, John, many ideas as to what they think, whether they're skeptic or whether they're other paranormal investigators as well. As we all know, it's not quite down to a science yet, but hey, we're trying, right?
Oh, I agree totally, because it's funny. I mean, I've had personal experiences my whole life. That's what got me into this, because my family are all Scottish Highlanders on my mother's side, and they all have different abilities, and I've had I'm clairaudient, so I hear stuff, and it's been there off and on my entire life, and then I've seen shadows, lots and lots of shadows. I see a lot of them quite frequently. It doesn't even surprise me anymore. But as for the reasons why things happen. You're dead on, because a lot of people come in and say, say to me, oh, well, it's this way is why you have this particular haunt, or it's this way, or this theory. And the only thing that I've found so far is that I really don't know, the reasons why they haunt. I can make suppositions, and I think most of it is related to, in just real general terms, either the someone they love, just like you guys said, that they're staying around for. They've done something in life, and I think this is really the case out here quite a bit in the Gold Rush country where I'm at. They committed crimes or did things that were so bad that they're afraid to move over. Or it could be that, Alan was saying, this whole thing with they've got a message to pass on about something, and or they may not know that they're dead. And you hear some people come in with very definite statements of, well, they all know they're dead. Well, I don't know. My experience is that some of them seem to think that they're still walking around, and they're pretty confused. So it's definitely a wide open thing. The one thing that is that I've noted, though, is that spirits seem to delight in being and confusing us. And I think it's like when you die, you get taken aside and you get handed a little thing. Okay, here's your book to confuse the living.
that'll be almost like what was that?
That would be fun, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I'm kind of hoping I get to find out if that's true or not. By the way, your Confuse the Living book. That would be kind of cool.
It's just to me. It just strikes me that so many of the teams are saying the same things, I get a good feel with you. I mean, you've really done a lot of this, and you're honestly trying to find the answers, And you know, is there, what is it that's in for each of you on the team is personally rewarding about this work? What do you get out of this that makes you feel good?
Go ahead, Scott. I'll let you start.
Well, like I said in the beginning of the show, I always wanted to get into this, and I always want to find out, at least try to find out the answer. You know, whether or not, I don't know. Just the idea of even going into places, whether I feel we're going to get something or not, I get excited. I mean, it's just something I love to do. So it's a passion I've always had, and I finally got a chance to do it. And then when we get evidence and stuff, it makes it even better. So.
What about you, Juan?
Okay, for me, it's, one, being able to help people understand their situation, that not everything that they perceive to be paranormal is paranormal. And for two, like I said, I've had a few myself, you know, in life. And it's the fact that I want to be able to sit there, even though I know it's real, I want to be able to sit there and have enough evidence to where, okay, Mr. Skeptic, you know, here's what you say about it, but I've got something different. This is my point. Now, you don't have to believe it, but, you know, you got to admit, if you want to truly be a skeptic, you have to admit the evidence I have presented to you does indicate some kind of something when we cross over or walk through that veil or whatever. So it's that. Plus, again, it's a passion of mine, and I love doing it, you know. And obviously, you know, all the fun we've had over the years and the different things we've done, even just with our most recent investigations, our team has had a ball. You know, we sit there, we clown around, but everyone on my team, including myself, and I set this back for our original team back in the 70s, which was like 1974. I was 20 years old. We'll let it go at that. But I said, this is the way it is. If you can't abide by these rules, then you're out of here. So, and I tell, you know, all my team members know the same thing. Look, guys, this is the way it is. A little clown around is fine, Danny, but it's professional. Even though all of our services are free to our clients, it's still professional, and we want to come across that way. And again, that's, like it says, it is our sole purpose to present a professional, friendly, courtesy, and courteous. And knowledgeable team to our clients. And if, you know, now, so far I've never had any issues. Everybody's worked together. But if it would be like some, I'd pull them aside and say, you know the rules. Let's get on the bandwagon here. You know, get back to being what we know we need to be. But like I said, I've got a bunch of team members, and I guess there's about 12 of us all together. And we're a good bunch of guys and gals. And we love what we do. It's our passion. And we have fun with it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and do our station identification and give everybody who needs to water the flowers, so to speak, a short break. So take about a minute or two, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue our discussion with Ghost Hunters Incorporated with Alan Wolfshadow and Scott Wise. So hang on there, guys. We're just going to, you know, play a couple of things, and we'll be right back. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Wrong one. You are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.
With the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty. period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
I like to have a little fun on this show. And we're back. And we've got our friends from Ghost Hunters Incorporated with us. These guys have been around a while, and it's good talking to some veterans in the field. And I've got good stories and good things to talk about here. So you guys do about one case a month, is what, and you're shooting for two. And it sounds about – it's good to hear that. I mean, because I find it real troublesome to go beyond two. A lot of people think we can really push it, you know, beyond that. And I think there's like a – I've come to this theory, you know, to see what you guys think, is I've come to the theory that there's an actual an exposure level to the paranormal that, you know, an investigator can handle up to a point. And after that, it kind of drains you. So, you know, what do you guys think of that?
Well, also, family. It comes down to family, too. I mean, you have to spend time with your family. You know, family's number one with me, so that comes first always. But usually, like you said, one case a month is usually what does it, but usually we get two in, and it works out pretty good.
Yeah, and that's like Scott said, I agree, and same with you, John. You know, there's a limit to anything, and, you know, you don't want to go over that limit now. Most of our, like myself, most of our team members are family-oriented. You know, they have their kids, their wives, and so on and so forth. So, and there are times, like in one case we had where one of our investigators said they have, even though they wanted to go, they had to pass. So I just said, hey, that's okay, family first, you know, do what you got to do. And being a one-time family man and had... Well, I'm still a family man, but having two kids of my own who, thank goodness, are now out and about and doing their own thing, it's like, I understand, you know. And, you know, you got to spend time with the other half and stuff. Otherwise, she won't let you play. Just kidding. Just kidding. But, you know, I don't want any other halves getting upset with me, so just kidding. But, you know, and that's really what it's about. It's family, you know. We're a family. Our team is a family, but then, outside of our team, is family that's important there as well. So, you know, as long as you have that kind of environment, everybody's going to get along good. Nobody's going to complain with any, you know, about anybody. You won't hear the wife saying, "What's you? All you ever do is ghost hunting anymore. What's wrong?" That sort of thing. And, what else was it going to say? Oh, yeah, as far as, like Scott was saying, we're trying to do two cases a month. We figure, you know, at that minimum, because like you said, you're pushing yourself to a limit, and sooner or later, if you continue on that fast track, it's going to like burn you out, and you're going to get aggravated, annoyed, and probably create some issues that you really don't need. So we figure that way, plus with the two cases a month, it gives us time to review the evidence from each case, set up a time when we can go back and show our clients what we've got, and explain to them, you know, everything of why we think they do or they don't have paranormal activity, and even to the point to where why we believe they have or have not this kind of activity going on, because we do research into the property, the ground the property's on, that sort of thing. Like the last case we just finished, which we'll be hearing hopefully, was our ghost box experience was at the battlefield bed and breakfast in, yes, nationally famous Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which that was an interesting case in itself. But everybody knows the big historic Civil War battle there at Gettysburg. So, you know, it was just great. We loved it. And our host, Florence Starbox, which was the owner and the innkeeper, she was fantastic. Beautiful place to visit. So, you know, and you know, you don't want to go beyond your limit. Like I said, you know, it's just try and limit yourself. Make sure you can get back to your client and let them see what you have captured for evidence and stuff like that. You know, don't overextend yourself, as they say.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to admit on air. I mean, I've had a real problem with the case finalization stuff, and we've been really kind of – I've taken the last couple of months to do catch-up with that because I had a backlog, and now I'm starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm reading too, you know, that you really have to do is sometimes you're just not going to get through all the evidence, so you just take what you have, you know, and just file the rest in. It's not a law that you have to analyze every scrap you've got. If you've got some evidence, then, you know, use that as the basis of the report and go forward. And, you know, I think this, you know, there's no rule book that really you get handed as a team lead when you start this work, you know, and you're the founder and you're trying to figure out how everything works and all the team dynamics and, the stuff that happens, you know, everything goes wrong just before the investigation, you know, all that kind of thing. It takes enough to do that. So it's just good to be able to just say, you know, look and say enough, we've got enough to go back and make a determination. And, you know, that's been our big thing. And, we've had a case just recently in Stockton. I mean, it's at the Stockton Masonic Lodge, extraordinary case. I mean, because it was our first case where we actually had a documented attack. And, we actually had the guy who was taking us through was actually hit. And, we caught the, and I actually clairaudiently heard this guy yell. I got this whole thing on tape. And I heard the guy yelling, and I'm going, did you hear that guy yell? And I'm going on about it, and everybody starts kind of making fun of me. And then, you know, Dan, the guy that was taking us through, he got hit, and we got the whole thing. And it turned out this male spirit was not quote, angry. He was desperate for help, and he did whatever he could to get our attention. Well, he got it, you know, and we did go back, and we do clearings. So we did go back, and it seemed to make things better there. But extraordinary, you know, stuff that happens, but it's just so neat to be able to, you know, to help people with this stuff. So I'm really getting it, you know, into my noggin that you need to finalize those cases quickly and get a good turnaround so that, you know, they are aware, you know, what the issue is and they can do something about it. It's just not good for them not to go back and, you know, give them something, you know,
yeah.
8-6. Yeah, you know, and I think that happens all too often in a lot of paranormal team investigations. It's just, you know, imperfect cases, you know, and imperfect results are better than none at all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's what I try and do with our group, you know. And like you said, you have tons of evidence to go through. And, I mean, I have stuff, and I'm sure Scott and some of our other team members do too, still sitting on our computer files and our handwritten files that, We went through, but due to, we say, you know, like we try and get back to our clients within a specific time frame. So to do that, it's like, okay, we got to eliminate it. And what I like to do is try and have everybody say, okay, go through what you got and pick out the best, what you think is the best evidence, the best EVP, the best photos, the best videos, so on and so forth. Send it, we'll look it over, and we'll go from there. And then we compile it. And so far, that's seemed to work pretty well for us. And as far as having a hair-raising moment when you're trying to organize things, I got to admit, I've been there quite a few times, so it's like that, but I still love it.
That's what you got me for now.
Well, yeah, but we got to get you into the know, too.
I'll tell you one thing. I am just so thankful to have Renee Martine. She's out there. She's Blue Edge Radio out here in the chat room. She has taken on the role of case manager, and I'm just going, hi, thank you. Oh, God, she is. Oh, somebody's making a noise. Who's that? Sure who that is, but okay, we're back. Okay, but yeah, that it's so good to have her there, and to have you know, our team really kind of start to form, you know, form the right way, and to see people developing. And so, Renee, my hat is off to you, love. And we love you dearly, and she's going to be doing a lot of real good cases with us. But it really is about the team, you know, that you have. And I'm blessed because we've got, you know, four really good team members that really interact well together. And you're dead on. I think you got it right on the money. And that's kind of the direction I've been going, Alan. Is this whole thing of just give me the best of what you got, you know? And you're not going to get every bit of it, you know, analyzed. I know that it looks that way, that like we do everything that TAPS does, but they do that full time. I've actually met them, and you know, they go, oh yeah, that's our job, you know. So it is their day job.
And
yeah, it must be, shouldn't it? You know, it's just like, oh my God. But what things do you guys see coming up on the horizon for you? Where do you want to take this with what you're doing, and what's the future hold in store for you?
We'd like to expand to different states if possible. And get out of Pennsylvania a little bit. We're looking into Maryland in some cases. I just got booked the other day and was trying to find places around there. And we had talked about going, I think it was, the one was West Virginia at a house. Alan?
Yeah, I believe so, Scott, if I'm not mistaken.
I guess was one of our investigators heard of a place in West Virginia where they are seeing shadow people. So we're trying to get that investigation because we want to see shadow people. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get out of state a little bit. Like I said, with the family and stuff, it's kind of going to be hard to do, but we're going to try it.
Yeah, and I would like to sit there. I mean, I'm not really out for the fame and fortune aspect of it, but I would like to be able to see our team advance further to where one, like Scott was saying, to be able to get around to other states. Like now, hopefully we'll get into maybe New Jersey. We have a place up to where we want to do some investigations in New Jersey, some in Maryland, West Virginia. And right now, our local geographic area would be like our county that we're in now, Berks County, Montgomery County, out in Gettysburg, Adams County, York, and Schuylkill County, and Lehigh County, which is up around the Allentown, Pennsylvania area. But I would just like to sit there, and I guess long-term goal, as easy as put, is when the fad dies down, there's still going to be people who have paranormal experience. So it's my goal as a team to sit there when the fads are gone and the experience are still coming up to be one of the teams that still stands pride and through the test of fire and everything, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's come up a number of times in our discussions is exactly the same thing. When this all finally gets kind of jaded in the public eye, exactly right. You know, ghosts are not going away anytime soon, and we're in this for the long haul. You know, it's become my life. I mean, you know, I can't think of life without it now. It just is, we each have our own unique path that we took to get here, and here we are in this moment all together in the same room, but it's good to be here, and I just don't want to walk away from it, because I really think that spiritual energies that we do run into and that we help and acknowledge who are seeking, in a lot of cases, they're seeking that attention. They really appreciate what we do. I think that when we actually walk in nicely and don't go in and provoke them like some groups do, I've noticed just in my own area that walking in with, especially when we bring gifts, like we like to bring whiskey to our ghosts, and trust me, they love the whiskey. And it seems to do well, but different cultures have different offerings. And just in our case, it's Gold Rush Ghosts, and they like Crown Royal.
whatever's left over, you guys get, right?
Actually, we did. You know what we did? We went to the, because we do multi-state investigations, and Nevada's just over the hill from us, over the Sierra Nevada range. And so we went to the Gold Hill Hotel, where the Ghost Adventures crew did their stay, and we went in knowing full well that these spirits in this place were pretty aggressive. So I brought the Crown Royal, and we had, five of us there. And we went to the entrance of the mine where all these miners died who hang around, and they're pretty aggressive guys. And we went in and we toasted them, and we left them a big, big shot of whiskey out there. And we all had a snoot ourselves and said, just here's to you boys, And we were treated to some really great displays. A half apparition run out with my own eyes.
Cool.
I saw the leg, but no torso. And then 10 minutes later, two of my team said the exact same path was followed by a blue orb. That they watched it both together with their mouths open. This thing just went right around the miner's cabin where we were staying. So, amazing stuff. But have you guys, what kind of things have you seen? Personal experience-wise, like that.
Oh, God, we could listen and listen. I want to ask you before I get into some of those. John, you were talking about, leaving the whiskey for, a toast or whatever. My question is, and I'm just curious, since you were talking about, have you guys ever actually seen the whiskey disappear from the glass, where somebody or something was drinking it, or or did you just kind of just go through it there? Because I'm kind of wondering. I mean, you apparently they liked what you did because you said they followed you out of the mine. So I was just wondering if maybe you got to see them indulge in the whiskey itself.
Not actually, but I got to tell you a story, and I've told this a couple times on air, but I'll tell it again. Is I have my own trademark site that I kind of have taken over as my own. It's the Shingle Springs Graveyard out here in Northern California, and it's just a mile away from where I'm at right now. And there's a guy named William Palmer, William Madison Palmer, who's kind of the lead ghost over there. He's really he's a powerful rancher, real nice guy, and I've had a number of dealings with him. But I go over there every Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and I leave them these gifts, and at Christmas Day I'll bring them the whiskey, you know.
That's
and so when two Christmases ago I went out there and I did the I left the whiskey, and I was doing EVP. And I went to get back in the car, and I shut off the recorder. I come home, and I ran the analysis. And I just as I'm leaving, I wish them all a Merry Christmas, and I get this EVP that says, "That man is a saint."
Well, this thing you're well respected then. And well, as far as us doing something like that, we haven't really went to the extent like leaving whiskey or you know a toast or something like that nature, but. We always sit there, you know, when we're doing an EVP session or a photo session or whatever, it's always like, thank you for your time, and basically always trying to show respect. Sometimes, you know, we've had to try and sit there in a couple cases to where one, which I won't go into detail, there was a young child involved, and the child was being taunted, and we got, I guess, maybe a little bit on the taunting side, but that didn't really produce a whole lot of anything on there as far as the taunting. But we did get some interesting night shots and what have you. But for the most part, what people don't understand is if you want to think of the term ghost, apparition, or whatever, the best way to look at it, I found, is as a person just like you or I or anybody else, your neighbor, your friend, or whatever, only difference being they don't have a physical body. So, you know, right. With that in mind, if people remember this, then all that hype from Hollywood movies, you know, with the werewolves and whatnot, they're going to realize there's nothing to be afraid of. As a matter of fact, personally, I would be more afraid of my next-door neighbor or some Joe Schmo on the street than walking around a cemetery doing EVPs, other than, you know, so, you know, for what that's worth, why that's where that is. But we've had our times, like I said, to where basically we would just sit there and say, hey, thank you for this, thank you for that. Or, like, we will thank them in advance for letting us know for what, with whatever sign that we ask that they're there and stuff. But I'm going to try that whiskey idea. That might work.
You know, I honestly, Dale, I'll tell you what, especially since you're in the Civil War area, I got a feeling it'll get results, especially when you do it around the holiday times. It seems to have an emotional, you know, like an emotional connection to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to appreciate, too, I give them Christmas ornaments. Or I'll even like near Halloween, sometimes I'll go out on Halloween and I'll or near it, and I'll take pumpkins. I'll buy those little inexpensive small pumpkins. Mm-hmm. And I'll go up and I'll just put a few around and I'll say, hey, guys, I'm just letting you know I'm here. And you know, this is for you to you know celebrate this time when the veil is thinnest, and they just really dig it, and I really think spirits appreciate that little extra attention, and you know, and in our family it's always been a tradition too that you know, we always set a table spot with a chair tipped forward so no one will sit in it, because that's where the family spirits come, get to commune with the family during the holidays. So it's something I really am big on, and I just really think that, you know, it's all too easy to forget those folks that are over there. And, you know, and I really don't believe that spirits just spend all their time in the graveyard. I think that that's just a holy meeting place where when we can come back to think about them, that they come back from wherever they're at to you know, meet with us. And they just appreciate the attention that somebody says, you know, is there for them. And I found, too, that if we say their names on the gravestones, if we actually say them out loud, it seems to trigger responses on EVP. And do you get the same thing?
Yeah, we have at times. And as a matter of fact, with the Gettysburg Bed and Breakfast, one of the things I did out in the barn, and I almost wish now I would have had the Civil War uniform from, you know, rented somewhere or whatever, to actually add to the thing. But I've spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, so I got that. I guess as the other half tells me that Marine attitude. But Scott, I will tell you, I was sitting there and we got some good results with that. I said, okay, I want to know, and I want to know now. I said, I don't care if you're rebel forces or if you're federal forces. I need to take a roster. I want everyone to muster. And if you can't, if there's any that's wounded that can't walk, the guys that can, everybody in here, I need to take a role. Well, shortly after that is when we got a lot of good results. We had, in one case, we heard whispering, Scott and I, and our other investigator, which was Bill Herman. We were all three at the barn, and we heard whispering. And so Scott sits there, and he goes, did you hear that? And it's like, yeah. So he says, well, let's try some. So I sit there, I said, which at that time was a knock as well. But so I took and I hit the beam real hard. I said, okay, if that was you, just so you know you're here, you have to really get our attention. You have to do something that will be loud. So I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to knock really loud. I said, just like this. I smacked my hand to where you hear this big boom on the beam in the barn. So I did it again. I said, I know you can do it if you sit there and let us know with a small knock. You can do it with a big one. I said, one more time, this is it. I did that again, probably, and Scott can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe about 2 or 3 minutes afterwards, boom, and it was like everywhere we went in the barn, we heard some kind of whispering, some kind of activity, and that was the same as walking around in the area outside of the bed and breakfast.
Oh, yeah, we're also in the barn, me and Alan both seen the rocking chair move.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was really freaky, too.
That was really freaky.
Wait, the rocking chair was rocking?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was like the minute Scott and I looked at it, you'd see it for maybe 2 or 3 seconds, and then, like, once I realized they were being watched, rocking would stop. And then, again, we'd look away a few minutes later.
Yeah, we looked at each other at the same time after we looked at it. Like, dude, that just happened? And he says, what? I said, do you see a rocking chair move? He said, yeah, I saw it move, too. So
that's wicked cool, man. I've heard of things like that happening. I've got a family story with, like, something like that. A woman that lost her husband up in a town called Paradise, California. Actually, it was a little north of that. It's a little smaller hamlet, but it's in the general vicinity. And this woman eventually died years later, and she would always sit out on the porch. Excuse me. And her husband would, she would wait at 4 o'clock for him to come up. Well, after he died, she still kept that up. But when she died, the rocking chair would rock in front of everybody at 4 o'clock. It didn't matter where you put this darn chair. It seemed like a residual haunt. And she it just did that for many, many years and finally died down. But that is, you know, that's just, it's so neat because you want to know, why does that happen? Why? What's the mechanism? You know, are they actually physically sitting in there? You know, are they inside the wood of the chair? As a scientist, I mean, I'm looking at it going, what is the physics of this? And it just still, for all the work I've done, I'm still no closer. But I think I don't want to ever know because I think the mystery is that cool.
Yeah, well, like I said, it is that cool. And, of course, you know, see, I'm one of the people who, as the old saying goes, curiosity kills a cat. So I want to know. And my mom, even when I was young, is like, I would sit there in the old waffle irons, you know, where you put the batter on, close the lid and stuff for your waffles, that kind of stuff. When they would stop working, I would have them tore apart within a matter of minutes because I would sit there. And I wanted to know, well, why does it work? How does it work? Why did it stop working? And sometimes with a little luck, I would get it back together. Hey, Mom, it worked. Well, needless to say, it would work for a short time, but it worked. And that's the same approach I take to now. You know, I want to sit there and not so much know the high and wow, but why? What is the reason? And an intelligent heart, why are you here? What can we do to help whatever it is that will help you move on, cross into the light, whatever terminology, you know. Are you here, again, for a family member? What is your reason? And basically, again, what causes the haunting? Which in a residual, it's usually a little different, but it just makes me want to know why. There's so many answers out there. And plus, I guess in my own subconscious, it would probably, when my time comes, hopefully I'll live another 50 years, knock on wood, but then when my time comes, I'll be able to sit there and from that side of the fence say, oh, so this is what it was. Now I have a little bit more insight, so now I can sit there and deal with what I need to do to help my family at some point down the road. So I don't know. That's my theory, and I don't know if it makes any sense or not, but I kind of look at it as that, from that point of view as well.
That's as good as, hey, that's, you know what, that's as good as mine. I mean, it's I feel the same way. I mean, you know, the thing that, you know, with us doing the crossings and doing our best to try to do the emotional component of it too, you know, mixed in with what we do, I keep saying that I just hope when I get to the other side, I'm going to have a kick-ass party waiting, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, why not? Everybody party hard.
Return to whiskey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to see all these guys with whiskey going, hey, John, you're cool, dude. You know, I couldn't help but notice, I use, you guys were mentioning the Radio Shack. I guess you did a Radio Shack modification, and I do on-air EVP, and I've got a Shack Hack box here. I've got the 587 here.
Oh.
And you guys sent some EVPs in, and I was just wondering, how long have you been doing the Shack Box stuff?
Actually, the first time we did it was at our last investigation, which was the Bed and Breakfast in Gettysburg. Now, I had seen it done before, and we were working on it, but the first practical use, and I was just as surprised as Scott was with the results. I mean, it just, like, blew me out of the water. But that was our first time, and we used the 12470 that has your AM, FM, weather, and the good old TD band. So, and again, like I said, I told you in the chat room on the one previous show when you were doing it, the FM mode seemed to work the best for us. I mean, it was countless. I mean, it would just have to go to our one website, which is the GHI case files. UCOs, which is UCOZ.net, and here's some of them. Or you can go to our regular website, which is www.ghosthuntersinc.net, and see some of our EVPs as well. But it was just fantastic, and I'll tell you, I don't know about the 587, how that works, if that gets that kind of results, but that 12470, it was just fantastic. I mean, Scott will tell you, we were totally amazed with the results we got. And I know it's not going to happen every time like that, but, boy, the first time we used it, it was like a real slap in the face, like, here we are.
Oh, I'm telling you what, actually, you were one of the several who changed my whole world here with this, because I bought it's a really easy mod for the model I've got. You bend a single pin, and then it'll do the scanning. But what I found was, I listened to what it was you and two other people came on at various shows, and I finally went, I better try this. And I went into FM, and I didn't do scanning. I just went to an unused FM frequency where it was just total static. And what a difference. I combined that with some of the audio analysis tools we have here, and it's unbelievable what we get. I'm in the same boat. I was just floored by what we were getting, and I do it statically here in the studio now as a regular thing every Thursday, and it's just awesome. I have no explanation for why it works so well, but we get direct responses and high quality stuff all the time in here, and I just am blown away. And I'm thinking about trying it in the field now. You know, now that I've had the studio experiences, I think it'd be a good thing to take the FM out into the field.
Well, I'll tell you, John, if you haven't had it out in the field yet, then just from what you tell me there in the studio, man, you take that out there in the field, you will be, I mean, you think in the studio just, like, blew you away. From our experience, you take that rascal out in the field, it's going to hit you like a Mack truck full of EVPs. I mean, it's just, well, you have to see, you know, and let us, and see for yourself. It's just totally overwhelming, the responses we got. It was, like I said, Scott can tell you, it was just fantastic. Well, how about Scott?
Yeah, it's great. I couldn't believe it either. So, yeah, they're all up there on the site. Every one of you got from the Ghost Box from Gettysburg. So, if you get a chance to check them out, you should.
Well, how about we play one? I've got here one that says Ghost Box says SC. You want to play that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. And then we'll get the story behind it. Okay, here it is at 100%.
Hey guys, hi. Who's this? What's your name?
Did you say Scott?
What's my name?
Yeah.
The person who said, hey guys, what's your name?
I think I heard that. That sounded like direct response conversationally.
Yeah, so the first part it said, hey, Scott, and then it said, he has to say Alan. And right after he says Alan, you can hear it say Alan, and then if you wait a little further down, we see Alan Wolf, and if you wait, hear Alan starting to talk again, and you actually hear Shadow at the end then, too. So you're saying his whole name.
Yeah, because what I had done, Scott was saying, you hear the hey, Scott, so I said, can you tell me my name? And then that's where, like Scott said, you would hear the Alan, and then the wolf, and then the shadow. So that, like, kind of is like, whoa, direct response. It's like, and like I said, being the first time experimenting, and we had it out in the field. So this was the first time we ever used it in the field. It was like, wait a minute. So, and the results were fantastic. Now I don't know if anybody else would have heard the same thing or not, but you know, that's what we heard, and everybody that we played it for, our other team members, it's like, well, guys, this is great. Now, our one had tried it, and he said he really didn't have responses. He had better responses direct on the digital voice recorders. But, hey, you know, again, it's one of them things. Some people have better luck on different pieces of equipment. At that time, it was new in the field for us. And, well, you see some of the responses we got. I mean, we were just totally flabbergasted with the response we got. And, I mean, it's like when we heard these, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like the old high five, Scott, type thing. So we had fun with it, John. And
telling you what, yeah, you got me convinced. I'm going to be definitely on the next investigation. We're taking this out in the field. I think I'll get a few more of these radios and just set them up like this. I mean, and how are you doing it? Are you doing? Are you turning the radio on and just recording with a digital voice recorder through the air, or?
Yeah, what we do, we find like in this case, we were using the FM mode. We'll turn it on, we'll let it scan, Scott and I, we place our digital voice recorder within to where you could pick up the scanning, and then also at the same time where you could clearly hear the questions we were asking. And then, of course, then we get our responses. At one point, and I don't want to get too far, but there was one where I believe, if I remember correctly, Scott was saying about his names and stuff, and we heard the response, Ted. And again, we say, did you say your name was Ted? And there, of course, it was, yeah. And then we went in and we were asking, like, are you a soldier and stuff of this nature? And you hear with that good old-fashioned Southern drawl the reply. So, you know, and again, that's one of them things, you know, I would sit there and not go into total detail because, again, it's one of them things. You guys listen to it, you decide, and you tell us what you hear. And most of the cases we've had using that, it's like, well, what'd you hear? And it's been exactly what we thought we heard. And it's like, okay, so we're not crazy. We are really hearing this.
Well, this turns out.
I do suggest if you're going to do the Ghost Box is to have your voice recorder at least 3 to 4 feet away from the Ghost Box. Because if it's too close to the Ghost Box, when you play back your video or your recorder, you won't even hear your questions. So
yeah, you'll hear more static.
More static than anything.
Okay.
But the EVPs that we got through the Ghost Box was actually not picked up by our recorders, but actually picked up by the height that was in the room that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's funny. I noticed that with some of the equipment we do because we like to layer, we layer our equipment. I'll throw, you know, I'll be using video and I'll get EVPs on video on the audio track sometimes that a digital recorder won't get. Sometimes I'll have it on both, the same EVP on both pieces of equipment. And it really does help, show that, it's really evidential. You're getting on, wildly different pieces of gear. But it's never the same twice, and that's the maddening part of this. The thing that I'm seeing, though, it's like, I did a variation of the procedure you guys do, with the FM here in studio, because I run that through an audio mixer into the setup I have. But I found out that I didn't have to run the scan. I found that if I just run on an unused frequency, that I could actually, that's enough signal for them to be able to do whatever it is they do. And we can come back and clean it up a little bit, and we get this high-quality stuff. So it's a technique to try. I mean, there's so many different people doing these things that you learn something listening to another team's experiences. So, I'm going to try that, and I'll repeat the rule. 4 feet away, so you get the response from the investigator talking, and then you catch it on the recorder, and that seems to work for you guys.
Yeah, that's what's worked the best for us. So that way, like I was saying, that you don't have the white noise from your box overpowering the question. And we learned ourselves as well. So, like I said, even now, 30-some years later, we're still in the trial and error thing. We're still learning, and we'll probably be learning till the day we no longer do it. And hopefully that'll be quite a few years yet, and probably, if the good Lord permits, till the day he calls me and says, "Okay, your time's up." So, but that's the best recommendation there is.
Well, turns out I uploaded the TED Ghostbox audio here. Would you guys want me to play that?
Yeah. If you want to play them, knock yourself out.
All right, dude. Let's play this, and we'll get the story behind this one. Here we go.
Well, who else is here with us? Your name? Ted. Is there Ted here?
Are you a soldier, Ted? Ted, are you a soldier?
I heard the responses. I mean, it was definite, and it seemed like what you guys were getting were direct responses right in a conversational mode there.
And like towards the end, you hear, I think sounds like a southern accent saying soldier. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. He's saying soldier.
Yeah, that's what. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I hear a train.
Yeah, that's a car. And it's about a block away. It's got like our local ghost train.
Ghost train.
There's a Spectre locomotive on the show here. And let's see, we got another one that's called EVP Ghost Box Talkin', and I'll go ahead and pop that on and see what the story is behind that. Here we go.
Who are we talking to? Cornelius, are you here? I'd like to talk to the owner and builder of this house, Cornelius. Gone. Who's gone? Where can they go? You understand? Where's Cornelius?
Okay.
Okay,
that's kind of interesting because Cornelius Houghton was the builder and owner of the house. It was built, if I'm not mistaken, 1809 was the year it was built. And he was the original builder and owner of the house. Now, I had told Scott and some of the other guys, hey, I want to sit there and see if we can contact the owner, see if he's still kind of watching over his house. So
yeah.
In that, I said about, you heard me say, I'd like to talk to Cornelius. Is Cornelius here? And then the response that we think we got, and again, it might be different for you guys, was he's gone. And that's where you hear me say, gone where? Now, we listened real close. Now, we use WavePad software for our audio to remove the hiss and hum. And if anything needs amplified, we amplify it. But everything else is basically the same. And in it, we heard like a whisper say, when I said, where's Cornelius? We hear, gone. And then we hear the second time, he's where, and then you hear, like, dead. If I'm not mistaken, is that the same one, Scott?
No, that's you missed the middle part. It's where you say, well, who's gone?
Oh, okay,
and
yeah.
They said, who's gone? They actually said it's Cornelius.
That's wild. I mean, it just seems to me you're getting the thing that I see with the difference with what you guys are doing is it seems to be I can only dream of doing this, getting the right in the field direct confirmation. As you talk, they respond. It's definitely conversational work that's going on here. I mean, I'm just stunned, you know. I got to try this.
another one from the band Breakfast was the innkeeper's name was Florence. So I asked, can you tell us the innkeeper's name? And then didn't say anything. And Alice says, can you tell us the innkeeper's name? And then it said Florence. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it said Florence. She liked that one today. We did a reveal today. Her jaw just hit the floor.
It was like, boom. I thought the floor was going to go through the basement.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've got, let's see, we've got two more here. We've got the Barn Whisper Ken, and we've also got Baby Sound Bobbies. And I'm glad I didn't say boobies, but anyway, let's see. Let's try the Baby Sound Bobbies. And what's the story behind this before I play it?
Okay, Scott, go ahead. Fill him in. I'll let you sit there. I don't want to steal the...
That's the one from our Mount Penn investigation. A teenager named Bobby actually had a bedroom made down in the basement, and he's been having seeing things and hearing stuff down there. There's a TV going on all by himself, and that TV picked up down there. It kind of sounds like a baby.
Okay. Well, let's see what we got here. Let's go ahead and play it. Here we go. Boy, was that the whole thing? Let me actually drop
that
down with us.
Let's slow down a little bit.
I think I heard something. Let me try it one more time. I hear like a modulation there. Let me try it one more time. I just want to see. It sounds like talking almost. It sounds like definitely a voice there. I can't quite pick up the baby, but yeah, interesting stuff. What about the Barn Whisper one here?
Okay, now, on the Barn Whisper, at the time, a couple of our investigators had to leave, so we went from 6 down to 4, which was myself, Scott. There was our investigator in training, that was Bill, and then our other investigator was Don. At that time, Scott and I were in the house itself. We were sitting in what used to be the kitchen, it's now the parlor. And we were conducting our ghost box session. Now, Don and Bill were out in the barn taking videos, pictures, EVPs and stuff out there. So you'll hear me at one point, and Scott, again, if I forget anything, leave anything out, you know, fill in what I left out. But at one point, you'll hear me say about saying Bill, and you hear the name Bill. Now, I ask, where is Bill? Is Bill in the house? And the reply we get, again, is you guys will have to play it and hear it for yourselves. So did I leave anything else, Scott, before John plays it?
If that's the right one, Barn Whisper, is that the right one?
Yeah,
Barn Whisper. Go ahead, play it once. See what you get.
Okay, ready to go? Okay, here we go.
Anytime.
And 100%, here we go.
Yeah, and that was a different one.
That's a different one.
It's different. We had a couple different ones named Barn Whisper. This was the one where we were out in the barn, and I called Alan over. I was, like, freaking out. I'm like, I keep hearing whisper in my ear. I keep hearing it. And at one time, I was using a parabolic mic, but even when I took it off, I still heard the whispering. So I called Alan over, and as soon as he walked over, he heard the whispering the same time I did. And I'm wondering if he's... you actually hear the whispering or talk my voice while I'm talking. Using WavePad, I was able to extract my voice from out of that. And that what you played right there kind of sounds like to me it's saying, why are you listening or why are you something? That's what I got out of that. So you want to play it again?
I'm going to play it again here. That was really, you could definitely hear modulation going on there. I mean, that's definitely speaking.
And sorry about that. Like he had said, we heard it with our own ears as well. So not only was it a personal experience, but we got documentation. And like Scott said, it was just like totally out there. It's like, whoa. And this was one of the many things that kept going on, not only in the barn, but outside on the grounds as well. I mean, we could probably sit there and take this show in the next week with some of the experiences we had just from Gettysburg alone. But I guess we'll, at this point we'll shut up and you can go ahead and try playing it again.
Okay, here we go. I'll play it a couple more times so the audience can really key into this, because this is a really good one. I like this. Yeah, it's saying something like, why are you here? I'm going to try this one more time because I'm almost getting it. Whoops, I just had to reset here. Every so often BlogDuck does this to me. Come on, guys. Let me get my darn machine back here. This was the Barn Whisper. Here we go. I'm hearing, why are you coming here to see me? That's what I'm hearing. Let me try it one more time. I want to be absolutely sure I key in on this. I'm hearing, why are you coming here to see me?
You see, that's what I wasn't sure. I know. I was just checking the chat room. And Rob was saying, it said, he thought it sounded like, why are you here? So, again, you know, as far as the classifications of EBP, of the EVPs, which I'm sure, John, you know, being a paranormal investigator, you know that they are what they are. Some will say A, B, or C. Some will say 1, 2, or 3. The only thing I can definitely say about, from my point of view, that I would probably put that in a Class C category. You know it's there, but it's not discernible.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, you know, I mean, I've listened to so many EVPs now. I've got kind of that ear for it, and it's not the kind that you could walk in and say that's quote evidence, but you know we know that we're hearing stuff, and we know it's, you could kind of, yeah, a lot of people say it's audio matrixing, but you know, that's actually a pretty good one. I think it's right on the edge of a B and C. You know, it's enough there that we're hearing almost all the same thing. Now the thing that I'm going to throw at you guys and see if you have the same thing happen is, do you have cases where you'll do an EVP, you'll record it, you'll hear it, then you'll go back a few weeks later, and the character of that EVP may have changed on you? You know what I'm saying?
I have, definitely.
Yeah, it's like you know, like you said, you'll hear it 1 minute, it's like, and you have this stored in your files, and you go back and play, well, it's like, well, wait a minute. That didn't sound like that the first time I said it, and it just makes me wonder.
It's like, how did I miss that the first time?
Yeah, exactly. not only did I have Scott done, but it's like, I have done it myself. It's like, well, wait a minute. I heard this before now. How did this sneak in there on me? It's like, was I half dazed and falling asleep when I did this? Or you know, what in the world's going on here? And yeah, we've done that quite a few times. And, you know, we're not perfect. We're just human beings like everybody else. So, yes, we do have a tendency to make mistakes.
Actually, I'm going to tell you, give you guys something different to think about on this, is I've come to the conclusion because, I mean, I've done, you know, I work in the aerospace industry, and I've done recording technology, you know, most of my life. Mm-hmm. And I've really come to the conclusion that there is a component to EVP that is not fully formed at the time of the recording. And it seems to be to me that there is a time, and I'm starting to call it the fixed time for the EVP to actually fully form. I don't think that it totally is in its full development, you know, right as you get it. And so we'll go back sometimes I'll let my recording sit a while before I'll go in because I've had it happen too many times that just like you guys are saying, well, gee, how did I miss that? Well, the reason you missed it is because it wasn't fully developed yet. And I know that goes against everything that we believe in science. But for whatever reason, I'm observing this, and I have no clue as to how that could happen on a digital recorder. I have none. But I fully believe it's a property of the universe that we don't understand yet. And I just think it's something worthwhile to think about. You know, it's just an observation. I have a feeling that there's going to be some physics that come along down the road that can explain these things. But right now, This is just a theory and a supposition, but I don't think you guys are missing it. I think what you're running into is this same strange phenomena that we're seeing.
I mean, if you remember, speaking of theories, everything at one point was a theory. Einstein had his theory. Galileo had his theory. Everything was a theory at one time, but sooner or later, it became a reality. And again, it's the same with ghost hunting. It's just theory, and hopefully I'll be able to see it, but if not, I know somewhere down the line, there'll be an actual day when paranormal investigations, the EVPs, the digital videos and all that will no longer be a theory, and then hopefully it'll really knock the socks off of these major skeptics, which I kind of like doing that. But it is fun, and yeah, we've done that quite a lot. And I'll sit there and I've conversed, and it even happens on our videos as well. It's like, hey, did you see this? How in the heck how did this sneak in there? And again, I think sometimes, you know, it also because you're trying to get back to your client, you just go over it so much that your mind don't necessarily think. And then when you give the rest, it's like, bam, oh, this is in there. How do I do this?
Well,
go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I just think that it's a component of both. I think you can have a cases where it does, it is a matter of you're tired of rushing. But I've just seen it too much over the last 2 years that I'm thinking that, you know, there's a mechanism at work here. You know, especially when we've had multiple investigators go over the same evidence, and then we're going, wait a minute, that where'd that come from? We all know that wasn't there. And it just seems... I know this, it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's just, there's something at work here. And I'd like to, you know, kind of throw it out there to the other paranormal investigators listening in on the show and you guys, think about it down the road and just try to observe for that. Keep an eye out for it because I think it's something that is important. And hopefully we'll see more that, you know, more people running into this and maybe it'll stimulate some thinking, you know? So,
you call,
I don't know.
You call case file revisited.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. I'm hoping, you know, that it will open up minds, and like you said, people will get thinking. Because just in the time that I've been doing it, and I know the same with the rest of our team. You know, we've been doing it. It's really opened up our eyes to different facets of life, and also again the different faucets of the unexplained in the universe. So. You know, and like I said, it's just so amazing if people would take the blinders off their eyes and open up and look at what's around them and hear with their mind, body, and soul instead of just thinking, yeah, we're hearing it. It's a whole new world out there, a whole new universe. And I guess it comes down to where you actually have to take time to enjoy life and sit down and smell the coffee brewing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. And just noticing we have a bunch of folks calling in. I've got a couple of hands up here. Are you guys up for a couple of questions, answering a couple of questions here before we end it?
Sure, why not?
Okay, here we go. 573, I'm going to bring you on first, and then we have 850 is out there. And I see a 732, but their hand is nuts, so I'm not going to answer that. I think they might just be listening in. So here we go. 573, I'm bringing you on, and you are on the air.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah, I was just wondering, on some of their cases, I got the bed and breakfast. I was listening to some of your EVPs on your website, and I was kind of interested about Anna. Could you give me a little more information about that? But you know about what you heard and how you went about it.
Okay, he's wanting to know about the Anna one, Scott, with the wife. Go ahead.
Yeah, Anna was the wife of the original builder Cornelius Hootland. She's the original, the wife of the original owner. That's why we're getting named Anna.
Okay. How did you get make them recordings? I mean, it's so clear and. I mean, you could just hear it real clear. When you asked about Anna, you'd hear yes. And I mean, I was really impressed with how clear they was.
We were just impressed, really, to tell you the truth. We were amazed, too. I mean, like I said, it was actually the first time we actually tried it on investigation, and we were flabbergasted.
If you were impressed with hearing it, you should have been seen it, been there when we took and you played that for our client. She was quite impressed as well. And again, actually, what you hear, 99% of our EVPs, whether it's straight with a digital voice recorder or if it's with the ghost box, is basically raw. Now, by raw, I mean what you hear is how we heard it. Now, there are times, in one case, like you might hear like a really, really low whisper type, to where in Anna ghost box session, you hear, yes, really, really soft. So what we do in that case, again, we use the WavePad audio, is we'll amplify that section to the point to where you hear it with the rest of the EVP. Any electrical noises, say a noise from an air conditioner running in the background or something of that nature, we eliminate. But other than that, everything else is in the raw, just like we have, just like you hear it. And for some that we do, we also have it before we, you know, amplify the voices and remove the hiss and hum and things of that nature, as well as the after. So that way, if any of our clients would say, well, we would like to hear the actual recording, we have it set up to where they can hear it.
And I actually totally agree with that. I mean, most of our stuff is the same. We'll do pristine presentations of what we have and without, enhancements. But what we always do, too, is all our evidence gets dumped in a big pile where we have absolutely all the originals. And it's pretty rare that we'll go in and amp something up to really bring it out there, especially with our field cases. In studio, I do a little different work because I need to enhance some of the stuff we get in studio. But it's a different kind of work that we're doing. So, you guys are, we're on the same track with that. Absolutely.
And again, for the caller as well as anybody else, if they would happen to check out our website, the www.ghosthuntersinc.net, they can read our disclaimer that basically says every evidence, whether it's video, photo, EVP, whatever, is as we catch it in the field. We do not sit there and do any kind of trick photography, which I wouldn't know how to begin with. But everything is genuine, We don't do like you see on some of these shows where you get these computer geeks that add moving statues and what have you. We're not out to deceive people. We're out there to present the facts and try and enlighten more than anything.
Okay. Well, caller, does that answer your questions?
Yes, it does. And I like to tell you, John, this is the first time I've listened to your radio show. And I'm very impressed with it, and I'll probably be listening a lot more.
Okay, well, thank you, my friend. I'll tell you what, you've got great taste, my friend, and thank you. I know I'm all blushing here, but you know what? I really value. Just take a second to say I value every day I get in front of this microphone, and the world comes to my doorstep, and I meet all these fascinating people, and. And it's all because of you guys. So, I'm just the guy behind the mic having a hell of a good time, and we're partying, and I play some cool music and bring some cool folks in, and we'll just keep this up, And these guys are great. I want to bring them back on in a few months and find out what cases they've been on and trade some techniques with them. So,
well, thanks. We appreciate it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We've got 850 has been waiting patiently, so I'll see who we got. And I'm just going to leave everybody's mic on, so feel free to chime in. So we'll bring a – boy, we got all these guys now sitting around, Jim. It's like a bunch of guys sitting around playing cards here. Let's see. Here we go. 850, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Ross.
Hey, Rob.
Hey. I got my phone working again, so that's why you see my clear echo. I just have a question for you guys. How do you know – that is not radio, and it's an actual voice. Because if you're dealing, especially with the AM band, it's you get all kinds of nighttime navigation. How can you pull out what is actually a spirit? That is my one thing. You're dealing with radio. You don't know if it's coast to coast AM or a real spirit.
Okay, well, I'll start out, and then if Scott wants to put his two cents in, he can tell me to shut up, and then I'll let him go. But, for example, you were saying about the AM band, Rob.
Yes.
If you have either the 587, which John was talking about, or the Radio Shack 12470, and you listen on the AM band, you'll hear what it sounds like clicks and pops. Now, those clicks and pops that you hear are just scanning through where you hear the radio stations. For example, you might hear a real quick clip of music. Next one you hear might be a piece of word of somebody talking. But what it boils down to, you have to be able, for one, to discern that. So it takes a little bit of getting used to and kind of, for lack of a better term, tuning your ear, what to look for. So afterwards, you can sit there, and if you say, like in the one, you ask a specific question and you get a direct response, then you'll be able to learn now, and you'll know. Now, that's why, personally, everybody has their own taste. Personally, yeah. I like the FM band because it's basically just like solid white noise. Every now and then, depending on the location, you'll pick up a local FM station. But compared to the AM, it's a whole lot different, and there's stations more few and far between. Now, with the 470 that we have, we've even put it on the TV band, which is your old TV channels, which obviously they no longer exist, so they're wide open.
Yep.
And we have the same response as well as the weather band. So that's why, you know, I was kind of telling John we prefer the FM band. And again, I have kind of a little bit of background to where I am a ham radio operator. I've talked around the world. And so that kind of helps me out as well, you know, because there are times you get, say, like another operator and say, we'll say, for example, in England, where you have all this noise coming across. It's sort of like talking on a really powerful CB radio. But this noise, sometimes you'll hear him clear. The next minute, the noise will come in and you'll have to, like, stick your ear to the speaker. So that's kind of helping. Yeah, it's kind of helped me fine-tune the listening skills. And that's really what it boils down to. You have to get out there, do it. You have to be able to fine-tune your skills, and everything else just falls right in place. So, I don't know. Scott, you want to add anything?
You pretty much nailed it.
So, did that help you out in any way, Rob? Anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one fast thing, because I know he's running out of time. I actually saw when I was going to we had a cottage up in Ontario, and when my grandmother passed away, I actually saw her rocking chair, and I was the only one in there. I think I was going into the bathroom or something, because you know, I was just walking through the hall, and you know, I only saw it once. So I'm thinking that has to be more intelligent, because I think she felt me coming in and she wanted to let me know that I was there, and I only saw that once. Now, if it happened again, I don't know or remember. So I'm thinking it's not a residual, because if it slowed down, then you know it's intelligent, like you were saying earlier.
Well, one thing you can find out for sure is if you have any reoccurring incidences, for one, note the time of day, keep like a journal, and when you feel comfortable, maybe ask something that only you would know, and maybe I believe you said it was your grandmother, and see if you get some kind of direct response that only you and her would know. And if it matches what you know to be true, then I would more than likely say it was an intelligent haunt then. Because you're going to always get a direct response to a question that you ask.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Welcome. Thanks for talking to us.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. And thanks a lot, Rob. And I'll tell you what. You know, it's funny. I've become a real big fan of the FM stuff because, you know, FM is a kind of a line of sight thing, and so you'll have only the local stations, and it's pretty easy to find an unused frequency. And since we do an awful lot of that here with the on-air EVP, it really isn't a problem for us. And especially if I keep the antenna, you know, I don't have the antenna hooked up or extended out. It's just like you're saying, Alan. It's just this, you know, kind of white noise. And it seems to just really work really well. I mean, I have been stunned by the stuff we get.
I'm all about, you know, because I would like to, I would like to hear more about it when you take it out the field test, because that's going to be what I think that I'd like to hear. I mean, from the results we had and from what I've heard with you doing it in the studio on previous shows, I think that's pretty doggone good as well. So you're getting them kind of results in your studio, John. I'm really excited. I'm waiting to see what you get out in the field. I mean, we were happy with the results, so I just kind of want to see the how amazed you get when you take it out in the field. And like I said, that was the first time that we even took it out. First time, we didn't test it any time before that. We just took it right out in the field and basically brought it out and just let it jump right in for us.
Well, I'm going to do it, and tell you what, I mean, I'll see about getting you guys back out here, with us here in several months or so, kind of catch up with what you're up to, if you're willing to come back on and trade some of what we picked up.
Oh, anytime, yeah. Anytime.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys are a great group, and, we've only got about 4 minutes left, but I just wanted to thank you very much. It's been one of the more informative shows I've been on in a long time, and you guys are total.
Well, thank you for having us. And as far as being intrepid, I think you kind of overrated us a little bit. I'm sure there's going to be some time we're going to run across something that will turn tables for a second and run. So, but I do thank you for the compliment, though. And again, like the one caller said, we've listened to your show at times and been in the chat room, and we really like listening to you as well. So, and we'll definitely be back anytime you want us, and we'll have us back, no problem.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll set it up. You'll get a mail from me in the next couple of days. So I'll throw something out there, and we'll schedule some time out into the summer, and definitely, and I will make a point of bringing on some of the evidence we get with the techniques you've shared. So, I learned something new from everybody that comes on, and you guys have just been a fountain of knowledge. So God bless you guys. You're the best.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you appreciate it.
Okay. Well, with that that said, we got 3 minutes remaining, and if somebody can repost, somebody's been reposting their link, and they've got these guys have an awesome website too. I just want to say, grab this here. It's ghicasefiles.ucoz.net. So if you get the chance, go out and visit their website. And you guys had another website, by the way.
Yeah, I'm putting that in right now. My timing is not the fastest,
okay.
But.
Good. Okay. All right. So we'll have that all posted there. And with that, we've got 3 minutes remaining. Let's see. We've got the call-outs to do. And all you guys are such dedicated Sunday listeners. Good to see everybody getting ready for the big work week tomorrow. But we're having fun here on Sunday night. It's After Dark Radios with us with a little cat. We have Alan Wolfshadow. Hey, I'm interviewing that guy right now. What do you think? Let's see. We've got Anastasia One. Let's see, we got Avatar. We have my dear case manager, Blue Edge Radio, is here. Deb S. is here with us, and we got Denise in Florida, who's listening to this on the radio somewhere, or actually listening on her phone, and she's so dedicated. Disgruntled Dan, the first guy here, he was the first one over the hill, and he took it, by God. We got Fire Witch, we got Fly Girl MD80, Gabriel, Giraffe Angel is here. We have guest 8408, we are from France. We have Hope East 66. She was on the other day, a sweetheart of a lady. Arm Spirit Deist. Okay, I said that all in one time. Nanessi, Paranormal Guys, and these guys are great. And I have them there. See Paul Edward Montador from across the pond, and he's still dodging all the bombs. And let's see, we have Philly Fever, Pixie Magic 76, Quinny is another Blog Talk host, and she's a member of Kathy's Empire. We have Rob, who was just on with us. Good to see you, and thanks for the questions. Scott Wise, Solana, Spin Dave, Spirit Baby 785, and let me see who we got here. Vintage Fashion Lady. It's Fashion Lady Day here at GRI. So anyway, with that, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio as we're signing off, and wish everybody a good week, and you'll see me on Wednesday and on Thursday. I'll be on with the EBP shows and stuff like that. So look for us then, and we will be seeing you guys later. And let me find a nice thing to play for the end of the show. Here we go. We'll play a little bumper Enigma. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Bless you.
good night, everybody, and thanks a lot. It's always good to see you guys with us. Take care, everyone.